Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I have guests tonight, but we are taking callers with our guests tonight. And so that you know who our guests tonight are, Eli Knopf, an attorney and CPA, partner at Frost Tax Law, and Peter Hockebo is a lawyer and senior associate at Frost Tax Law. And what we are going to talk about is all the benefits that are being handed out to businesses, small businesses especially, and how do you make sense out of it all? Every time we wake up, they've got a new set of rules interpreting, you know, the 100-some pages of rules they wrote to begin with. And so, you know, it's like you're on a ship in the middle of a hurricane. You know, you go up and down and up and down, and things keep changing. And there's a lot of pieces and parts to this PPP law, and how do you get forgiveness, and how much can you borrow, and how do you know you spent it in the right way, and then they're saying that there's criminal charges and penalties and, you know, perjury, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you know, you really just got to sit back and say, gosh, you know, I hope I'm following all these rules. Well, Eli and Peter are here to answer your questions if you want to call in and ask a question. Matter of fact, my stepson just called in and asked me a question about the PPP and so forth. And if I get time, and, you know, depending on the callers that call in to ask questions about PPP and so forth, I'll probably ask his question of them. So anyway, but I do have a client that I was talking to this morning called me about the PPP loan. What do I do? So I'm going to start with that question. But if you want to call in and get online, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Eli and Peter, are you online with me now?
Yep, this is Eli. Thanks a lot for having us, Drew.
Great to have you. Peter, you there?
Peter is here as well. Yes, sir.
All right. So I have a client on the Eastern Shore, and he called me this morning. He said, this is my situation, okay? I'm a contractor, build houses, and my business went down about 25% in March and so forth. And all of a sudden, you know, I had a rebound in April. And he says, right now, things are looking pretty good. But he says, I have plenty of situations. I have employees I got to pay because they got to quarantine themselves because they came in contact with someone. I've got this going on. I got that going on. There's lots of different things, you know, happening. And everybody's telling me I should take a PPP loan and I'm better approved for a few a few hundred thousand dollars. Should I take it? What would your advice be to them? Did I give you enough information?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, this is Eli, and then Peter, I'll turn it over to you to add your comments in a minute. But look, they put out, the SBA put out a requirement that, you know, there has to be certain economic uncertainty, right? In the construction industry and in the real estate industry in general, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. So while there might be a temporary increase, and I think everyone should evaluate their situation independently and do a serious evaluation, it's hard to know what's going to be, you know, 30 days from now, 60 days from now. I think what we all know is that, you know, this has wreaked havoc on our economy. And I think if there's an argument to be made that there is, the economic uncertainty is going to impact him somehow, or there's uncertainty as to what happens next month, if you look at what's happening with new housing, it's, you know, it could be likely that he would be eligible for it. But I think it's an independent analysis, and it's a really tough question to answer. Peter,
it is.
Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, on call after call with boards of companies and talking through this stuff. And I think what you were getting at was the, you know, the certification that, you know, these folks are going to have to go to. And just so your listeners know, the certification is that, you know, quote, current economic uncertainty makes this loan request necessary to support ongoing operations. And so what I would push your client to do is to, you know, articulate what is necessary about the loan to support his ongoing operation. I mean, the SBA and Treasury have come out with a couple of statements that sort of soften some of this. There was an FAQ, talking about what does this actually mean, and of course they don't really go into it too much. But they introduced this idea of whether or not you have adequate sources of liquidity. This program itself was built on an existing 7A SBA program, and the CARES Act actually removed a requirement that applicants be unable to obtain credit. Now they've introduced this new idea of adequate sources of liquidity. Look, at the end of the day, Congress had an opportunity to put some sort of harm test in this. There could have been a question about, harm to revenue, harm to earnings. You had to maybe talk about your prospects going down. And believe me, they did in other aspects of the CARES Act, but they didn't include one, with respect to the PPP. So those, the key here is being able to describe, why this is necessary to support ongoing operations. What that time period looks like, I don't think we're clear on.
Yeah, there is a lot going on here, but I think one of the key things is that they, people who borrowed $2 million or more, businesses that borrowed $2 million or more, have a much more stiffer standard because they're saying they're basically going to audit most of them. Whereas people who are borrowing less than $2 million, they've even taken away the penalties from those smaller loans, haven't they?
That's right. That's right. And as far as we know, I mean, they haven't outlined what those penalties would be, but they said essentially they're deemed to have applied under the necessary test, right, if it's under $2 million. But the application itself does have a question where you specifically have to check the box if you took over $2 million, and that's likely there to be able to just do a quick review of an application and draw scrutiny to it a lot quicker.
Right. So we're on a guest show, but we're taking callers. Mark, I'm going to come to you right after my pause with traffic. And if you want to get on and ask a question about all the benefits that are available for business owners, especially the PPP loan, and how do you get forgiveness, and how do you get the loan, and what are the rules, and how do I determine all these things? You got Eli and Robert here from Frost Law, and they're truly some of the people that I know that are the most knowledgeable in this area, and you would be wise to call in and ask your question if you have one on PPP loans. But right now, I got to go to traffic. I'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated? Are just a few of the many parts of the physical. The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here today. We're talking with Eli Knopf and Peter Hockebo, and they are with Frost Tax Law. And we're talking about PPP loans. Well, actually, these guys are experts in tax controversy. If you have a tax controversy, they'd also be able to answer that. But if you want to talk about tax law, talk about PPP loans and how do you get them and how do you get forgiven them and so forth, 410-922-6680. There are a few lines open right now, 410-922-6680. Let's see if Mark in Baltimore City is still there. Mark.
Yes, good afternoon to you and your guests. I had a question in results of the coronavirus pandemic. A lot of businesses, restaurants and like, have closed permanently. That means they did not apply for loans or couldn't apply for loans or anything like that. So for next year, when they're filing out their business income tax forms for the tax year 2020, are they able to take, I'm not sure what it is because there's a huge loss. It was only 2.5 months into this year 2020. So are they able to take a break, or how does this work? Because they didn't make much money because they closed permanently. How does this work?
Well, this is Eli. I mean, I could take that. I mean, at the end of the day, when you prepare your taxes from the perspective of it's an income and expense analysis, to the extent the businesses didn't do well and their expenses exceeded their income, certainly that's going to put them in a loss position for purposes of their tax preparation, right? So the income tax would either be low or nil if there wasn't any earnings from that. I mean, it doesn't necessarily implicate any of these federal programs based on your question, but it's more of just it sounds like a general income tax question. And if they shut down, they shut down. If there's no income, then there's nothing to pay tax on. Or if expenses exceed income, then in the reverse, yeah, obviously there'd be no income that way either.
And it depends on what their balance sheet looks like and how they're going to clear that out and so forth. So a lot of that will be dependent upon what type of entity he is.
Sure.
Now, so there's lots of different things there, Mark. It's a difficult question to answer without the specifics of what the balance sheet looks like and what kind of entity it is and so forth and how did they shut down and, you know, and so forth. But I don't think what you're looking for is this massive write-off. I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately. Mark in Ellicott City, how can we help you?
In reference to the PPO loan, isn't that based on what you did last year prior to the compared to this year?
So for purposes of determining the loan amount, you're looking at either the last 12 months or a 2019 frame of reference. So there's two different things. There's how much money can you take at the front end, and then there's how much of that loan can be forgiven on the back end. So in determining the loan amount, yes, you're correct. There's a certain element of look back, where you're going to take the average monthly payroll in either 2019 or the last 12 months, and then you multiply that by 2.5. That gives you your total loan amount. Then there are rules about how to spend it in order for it to be forgiven or to maximize forgiveness.
And Drew, this is Peter.
Hold on, Mark. Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, I just think we do a disservice to your listeners if we don't just remind everybody that there's still money out here. So for the previous caller, sounds like maybe he owned a business or something like that. If he hasn't applied, there are still funds available. And, you know, if the company, the business is shut down now, there's still an opportunity to, you know, borrow based on your 2019 payroll cost, as Eli was describing.
Right.
But, you know, I think the last I saw, there's still $100 billion.
150, you know, is what I heard, yeah.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
And after you had this sort of Laker effect or, you know, the Shake Shacks of the world turning back the money in, I think they had $460 million turned back in, and a lot of people were, you know, a lot of these bigger companies were not being as aggressive. And so there's still money out there. You still have an opportunity to bring back your workforce.
All right, let's see what...
And to reopen.
Right, Mark, what did you want to ask again? Go ahead, real quick.
You're doing reasonably better compared to last year, it might not be a good thing even to ask for it, correct?
Right. Well, that goes to how we open the show with economic uncertainty and whether or not it's necessary for you to take that loan. And I think that's an independent analysis for each and every business to make. But, you know, a lot of businesses obviously can make that certification, you know, in full faith, in good faith. But that's an independent decision to make based on your numbers and your financials.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't require you to hire people back and have less earnings. What it requires is you have economic hardship and you retained your employees. And if you can show that, you're going to get the forgiveness. I understand. And so, like Eli says, it's a personal decision as to can you sign that statement and so forth. So I agree wholeheartedly. Lee in Ellicott City. Lee?
Hi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, my question is, I'm a restaurant owner, and basically a lot of confusion, especially with the tipped employees and, you know, how many people have to be retained, the margin of 75 to 25. I'm actually terrified to use it, but I need it.
That's a good question. You know, look, there's three big tests you want to meet. And then there's a lot of exceptions and a lot of rules, and every day something else comes out, and God bless them, Memorial Day Eve, 26 pages comes out, you know, which took over my weekend. But there's three general rules you want to think about. One is the 75-25 rule, that 75% of the loan in total has, at least 75%, if you're looking for forgiveness, at least 75% has to be spent on payroll. 25% can be spent on other costs, such as rent, utilities, and mortgage interest on property. So that's your first test. You want to meet that. Now, when it comes to the forgiveness aspect, you have to also maintain the same full-time equivalence as a reference period, which basically means if you think about a 40-hour work week and an employee who works 40 hours, think of that as a 1.0 equivalent, one full-time person equivalent. You have to maintain, when you add all your equivalents, you have to maintain the same full-time equivalence as a certain reference period you're comparing to in either the prior year or the beginning of 2020. So if you don't, it's not like you lose forgiveness altogether, but it gets prorated down. Now, there's some safe harbors that we'll talk about hopefully later in the conversation, but the last point is the wage reduction. You can't reduce anybody's wages by more than 25%, and if you do, then it's a dollar-for-dollar reduction in forgiveness. So those are kind of the three big rules you want to be thinking about, and if you want to talk about this further, you're always welcome to give us a call and chat about it.
All right, this is Eli.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Eli, I appreciate, because I think you're a valuable commodity, speaking of this. A couple things. With the tipped employees, you can pay them their tips?
Yep. That came out in the frequently asked questions just recently, right?
That's right. Okay. Right. Tips can be included, and a lot of times you don't know what the tips are, and it does say in the guidance that was just released that you can use a reasonable estimate of what that is.
Why don't you tell them, Eli, how they get in touch with you and Peter if somebody out there is listening or Lee wants it? Give them your phone number.
Sure. If you want to reach us, you can call 410-497-5947. That's 410-497-5947. And you can either ask for myself, Eli,
that.
Or Peter.
I have one last question.
Yeah, go ahead real quick.
Okay, what if the stimulus $600 and the bonuses that are said to be allowed to be given, are there any penalties to try to give those people that money also so that you can get them to come back where they would say, hey, look, I'm making more at home?
You mean the unemployment money? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that's what he's referring to.
Unemployment is one, and then the $600 stimulus is another that everyone's getting. So they're kind of like...
You mean $1,200. You mean the $1,200 stimulus? Or you mean the $600 extra unemployment you're getting?
$600 extra unemployment, I apologize.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that pretty quick. So, look, there's a reality here, an economic reality, is that a lot of people who didn't make, you know, a high wage don't necessarily want to come back to work because they're making more money at home right now, and I don't blame them. Now, the question is, does that reduce your full-time equivalent calculation when you borrow the money and ask for forgiveness because those people don't want to come back? And that's part of the guidance that came out, is that you're not going to get punished if someone doesn't want to come back to work. Now, there are a certain set of things you have to do. I believe it's five steps you have to take. And one, you have to offer to hire them back with the same salary and the same hours. And you also have to notify state unemployment insurance that they're not coming back to work, and you put an offer out. So if they stay home and you extended an offer and you're looking not to get punished on the forgiveness aspect of it because they're not coming back, and you notify state unemployment, they might have a problem with unemployment insurance where they're collecting money that they would have to pay it back because you as an employer offered to bring them back in. So I think it's not such a simple thing.
Good question, Lee. I've got to run to traffic right now, and so I'll take my next pause with traffic. If you want to get online, 410-922-6680, and we have lines open right now, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're with Eli Knopf and Peter Huckabee of Frost tax law. And we're talking PPP loans and all the benefits that are coming out on the coronavirus bills to help businesses stay in business and pay payroll and all that kind of good stuff. And lines are open if you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680. We've got Joe on the line. I'll be with you in about a minute, Joe, so hold on there. Let me ask my stepson's question. You know, he said to me, there's so much bad information out there. He says, I keep talking to people, and they keep telling me what they think the law says. And he said somebody told him that it has to be for payroll only while you're shut down. And there's no truth to that, is there?
No, there's no truth to that. You can be open and operating and paying payroll, and there's absolutely no requirement that you be closed down
and
the PPP.
And you got 8 weeks, that's basically, but it really doesn't matter. You know, there's a certain framework that you have to show that you brought your payroll back on over a period of time. So, you know, and you know what's also funny, Eli, is you guys hit it right. You spot on with your answer to Lee earlier, but there's talk in Congress that's going to change all the rules even more. It's got a high probability of going through that what you told them was, you know, going to get become even looser than what you just explained, which was pretty generous.
Right. Perhaps, you know, and I expect if it does come out, it'll probably come out at like 6 p.m. on a Friday evening. My luck has it. You know.
Well, and Drew, just keep in mind here, I mean, I think we're up to, I don't know, 7, 8, or 9 interim final rules. We've got pushing 50 FAQs. There's, you know, been some other guidance that's come out. So they're coming out with stuff left and right. They've promised more. You know, Eli in the last segment was talking about the, you know, good faith offer to rehire that's rejected. IFR that came out on Friday basically says, look, we need to tell you more about how to actually, you know, tattle on your employees. And so there's going to be more that comes out. And what's working its way through Congress may change everything, may extend 8 weeks to more.
I've heard that. Know.
There's so much working.
Yeah. We do, when we're finished with Joe, we do have to talk about self-employed sole proprietors, people who file just a Schedule C on their tax return, because that's probably, in my opinion, the most difficult, complicated little businesses trying to figure out what the heck they're able to get and how they get, you know, forgiveness. But we're going to Joe in Baltimore City. Joe in Baltimore City, how can we help you?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for telling me to open up a Roth IRA a few months ago.
Great.
I got started, and I've been able to add a little bit to it. It feels really good to have at least something moving in that direction. It's my age of 65, so
wow.
I was a little embarrassed, but you were very, very nice to me and gave me that advice that just do the best you can and get moving on it.
You probably bought in at a good time, too.
Yeah, I think I did. I think I did. Now, the other thing is, I'm sorry this isn't really on topic, but I did tell your producer that I'm just concerned about the overall economy, as we all are, and the debt and the I just can't get my mind around it. It's going to be $30 trillion soon. And, you know, I don't know. Can you give me some hope or some kind of thought about that? And I know you don't want to go too far into it, and it's a lot to ask, but.
All right, well, Joe, you hang up and listen, and we'll give you a little bit on that, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. And while we're doing that, if you want to call in and ask about PPP loans or any other of the business relief things in the coronavirus bill, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Lines are open right now. Nobody's online right now, so either of you guys want to address his question, or you want me to do it? You're lawyers.
You know, Drew, you're my financial guru. So
you're lawyers.
I think this is your question, Dan.
Lawyers are like, you know, there's no way I'm going to touch that. Anyway, you know, my answer to this is if they continue and just nonstop every time you twist and turn, just keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing, sooner or later will become a problem. But When you consider what we're going through right now, if they don't do this, you will have a much more difficult problem. If you go back and look at the Great Depression, what brought us out of the Great Depression is nothing to do with what Roosevelt did. That just stopped it from being as damaging as it was until he came in and did that. It gave some relief. But it was World War II, and it was the massive spending to accomplish an incredible mission. And the debt of the country skyrocketed to a percent of GDP far greater than what we're at this point in time. Now, the point, though, is after World War II, we began this economic prosperity, and they paid a good bit of that. They paid a large portion of that debt down and so forth. So if they don't ever get to a place where they stop the borrowing, sooner or later it becomes a problem. But who knows when that is? Is it $30 trillion? Is it $50 trillion? I mean, there are crazy economists out there nowadays that think you can have an unlimited monetary, modern monetary theory, they call it, where you can just borrow unconditionally as the U.S. government or Japan or Europe, and it doesn't mean a thing. I disagree. I think a lot of people that are of knowledge in the financial world also disagree, but you have crazy people out there that are saying we can do that. For right now, I'm not concerned, but I understand his point. We're going to Mike in Reisterstown. Mike, how can we help you?
Yes, Drew, I have a question. If an employer receives benefits from the government or money from the government so he can reinstate some of his employees, and he decides not to reinstate them but put the money in his own pocket, is he in violation of the law?
Eli?
So,
Peter?
This is Peter.
Peter?
Certainly he's in violation of the spirit of the law. I mean, the public policy here is to get people employed. And an employer, through this process, is going to sign a promissory note that is going to include language that says, I agree to maximize my loan forgiveness. I agree to use this money at least 75% on payroll costs and up to 25% on allowed non-payroll costs. We have not seen exactly what the penalties are, but certainly you're going to be in violation of the spirit of the thing. Certainly SBA has contemplated that not everybody is going to get all of this forgiven, whether it's an FTE issue or a wage reduction issue, or you just couldn't get back to that 75%, and so certainly it contemplates that this could convert to a 1% note on a 2-year term. One of the things that we did see that came out in the IFR from last Friday is that SBA is saying, look, we reserve the right, even though this program is administered by the banks, we reserve the right to go in and audit these and to take a look and make sure that these folks were eligible for these loans, that they were used in a proper way. And, certainly someone needs to be concerned about, exposure to fraud issues on the back end, depending on, exactly how this played out for him. So like a lot of this, it's a little bit of a case-by-case scenario, but certainly we've seen some indictments come down. There's definitely been some major fraud out there already. And so I think that the FBI, the government, is going to be aggressively policing this stuff.
All right, okay. Mike, I got to run. I got to do my next traffic pause. But we have nobody online for the last quarter of the show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, talk about PPP loans and other business benefits, keep you going during this shutdown, lockdown, whatever you want to call it, pandemic. You can call it anything you want. But if you need a loan and you want to know about how they work, Eli and Peter are here to answer them for you. But right now, I got to go to a pause with traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Eli Knopf and Peter Huckabo in Frost Tax Law. We're talking about PPP loans and so forth. Eli and Peter, why don't you just give them quickly how they get in touch with you if they want expert advice on all of this complication that seems to change daily?
Sure, sure. The phone number at the office is 410-497-5947. That's 410-497-5947. And you can ask for either myself or Peter.
So your website, frosttaxlaw.com?
That's right.
And irslitigation.com.
IRSTaxLitigation.com.
I was close. IRS
that
tax.
That was pretty close, Drew.
IRSTaxLitigation.com. And so your website's also an easy place to get in touch with you. And if you want to talk to them, lines are jammed now. We're in the last quarter of the hour. We're going to try to get to them all. Jennifer in Pikesville, how can we help you?
Hi. I don't know if this question was already asked. So the question is it simply a ratio regarding them looking at the employees coming back to work? Or, say, in a specific situation, I have an employee who's willing to work from home, but I need someone on the premises. So I personally would rather hire a new employee for the interim until the older employee is willing to come back to work. Is it simply a merely a ratio that they're looking at, kind of, you know, what the salary was, as long as I'm kind of matching it? Or are they looking at the fact that I did not hire that other employee again?
Yeah, so it really is, a good old-fashioned FTE comp, full-time equivalent computation, and an evaluation of wages. So you could hire someone new, and certainly that's something that we've been recommending in situations where, you know, folks are like, look, I'm worried about, being able to get to the payroll, and we're saying, well, you know, maybe you as a business owner had a project that you wanted to, to get done. So maybe consider hiring that bookkeeper now to help you catch up or do whatever project you were trying to do. As far as, whether or not someone can work remote versus, you wanting them in the office, I think, you determine your job description. And if the job description is such that you need them in the office, I think that you're offering them their same job back. And that goes to what Eli talked about earlier with the good faith offer to rehire.
All right, Jennifer, good question. Very good.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And we're going to Mark in Cadenceville. Mark, how can we help you?
I have a question about going back to the till for another PPP. And I know it's not allowed based on the information that's been put out, but the reason why I feel like the question might be legitimate is because they, as you guys know, I'm sure better than I do, that the second wave of the PPP has been almost the opposite. So many people have returned money, and so many people are confused that there's nowhere near as many applications. So just as recently as yesterday, I think I read there's still $150 billion available. So I'm sorry, long question. My employer has had me helping him over the last 10 weeks, and he was successful getting the PPP and has hired, just as you were talking to the other lady, additional people. We've had some good fortune, and business is going well now. And so the 8-week requirement of spending the original PPP is being easily met entirely with payroll. No other expenditures. So my question is, I wonder if guys like this shouldn't consider trying to suggest to the system, perhaps, that since they're employing a lot of people, to give them an opportunity to go back to the well.
I'm not sure I understand the question. You mean to go back and get more money than they
yeah.
had initially received?
Do you think there's a chance that they'll be able to get more PPP money if they're able to continue to hire more and more people?
So based on the law, the way it's written, because it's based on the average of payroll in the past year or in 2019. So, you know, if they're using 100% of it on payroll, you know, God bless them, they'll get it forgiven if they follow the rules, right? They don't have to use 25% on costs other than payroll. They can use that 100%. But for purposes of determining how much they receive, it's based on historical costs, not on how many people that they have today.
Right. And so the answer is no.
You can only have one PPP, so you couldn't go back and get an additional one. And there are only limited circumstances where someone could go back and try to increase the amount, but you're going to have to identify some comp that was wrong on your initial application.
All right, Mark, good question. You know, the financial consulate got approved for a PPP, but we turned it back. And we did that for numerous reasons. One is that the SEC has now required any financial advisor taking a PPP loan to send a letter to all their clients saying that they took a PPP loan, which we figured, you know, that's ridiculous. We don't need to be sending more and more things like that out to our clients. You know, to us, it really wasn't worth it. Just wasn't worth it.
Yeah, I mean, just to talk about why there's so much money out there now, I mean, remember that when this opened up, it opened up for self-employed individuals later than it opened up for other businesses. And a lot of the big banks were prioritizing their big customers, right?
Right.
So in the first round, a lot of the money went to the big companies, some of the public companies that you're hearing. And then there were also these rules that said, hey, we're watching, right? The government's watching all this money coming out, and suddenly money starts coming back. So the first tranche, the few hundred billion the first time around, that essentially got taken by a lot of the big companies. And I think now this second round is going slower because the scrutiny that the government's putting out there, the messaging around the scrutiny, and also because a lot of the people taking it now are the smaller businesses, so the loans are just smaller dollar. So
yeah,
we thought it was going to go a lot quicker, but I think that this all makes sense about why it's going this way.
And, you know, that's what we saw early on is that we saw people that were taking the PPP loans that, you know, you're thinking, you really don't need this. Like a liquor store, that their volume is 20 to 30% higher, but they're taking a PPP loan. And they're signing off on the statements and things like this. You know, that kind of stuff was happening frequently. And like you say, big businesses, publicly traded companies were taking the loans, and yet they had plenty of avenues for keeping their business alive. So I do agree with you. It's getting down to the people that really are hurting from this situation.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Do we have any other callers? I wanted to make some other points on tax controversy just in general and how it is.
You got 1 minute to do it and tell everybody again how to get in touch with yourself. So go ahead.
I'll do it in 30 seconds. So basically, we're tax controversy attorneys at heart, but some things just to know, for those of you that do have tax debt out there, the IRS is currently not issuing liens or levies until July 15th. That's something important to know just for peace of mind. That doesn't mean you should ignore your tax problem, but that's something that's out there. Beyond that, if you have an installment agreement with either the IRS or the state of Maryland, there is currently a suspension for requiring to make that payment. So you can withhold the payment back for certain installment agreements until July 15th. So from April 1 to July 15th, you don't have to make installment agreement payments. If they're voluntary, meaning you mail the check, if they're direct debit, then you should likely call your financial institution to stop each payment, but make sure the July payment comes out. So it applies pretty much across the board. If you have any questions about your particular circumstance, just to close the loop, our phone number, 410-497-5947, 410-497-5947. My name is Eli Knopf. Peter Huckaboo is my colleague on the line as well, and you can find us at frosttaxlaw.com. That's F-R-O-S-T, taxlaw.com.
Eli and Peter, I really appreciate it. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Things are gonna be much better if you